The Marriage at Cana, March 21, 1899. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called, and his disciples, to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. John 2:1-5. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. The servants obeyed, filling them to the brim. Jesus then said, Draw out now, and bear to the governor of the feast. Verses 6-8. Again they obeyed his commands, and lo, the water had become the choicest wine. At the feasts which the world provides, the richest provisions are usually placed before the guests first, but on this occasion the best was kept till the last. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water which was made wine, he at once detected the difference between this and that which he had before drank. It was superior, the best he had ever placed in his lips. Calling the bridegroom, he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 10. Christ desired this figure to represent the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he would have the symbol as perfect as possible, with all the objectionable features which usually attend a marriage festival dropped out. What Christ does is fully done, and this is the plan on which his servants are to work. In the water pots filled by his word, there was more wine than was required for the feast. By this, he would teach us that the provision which the Savior's grace and righteousness makes for us is full and abundant. Those who come to him for the bread of heaven and the water of salvation will always be supplied. He does exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Christ came to our world to cause heavenly light to shine amid the moral darkness. He came to make men and women understand that the marriage institution is sacred. His presence at Cana gave high endorsement to this ordinance. The wife is to respect her husband. The husband is to love and cherish his wife. And as their marriage vow unites them as one, so their belief in Christ should make them one in him. What can be more pleasing to God than to see those who enter into the marriage relation seek together to learn of Jesus and to become more and more imbued with His Spirit? The home is an institution of God. God designed that the family circle, father, mother, and the children, should exist in this world as a firm. The father is to act as priest in his own house. He is the house band. And what his influence will be in the home will be determined by his knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. When I was a child, Paul says, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. The father is to stand at the head of his family, not as an overgrown, undisciplined boy, but as a man with a manly character and with his passions controlled. He is to obtain an education in correct morals. His conduct in his home life is to be directed and restrained by the pure principles of the Word of God. Then he will grow up to the full stature of a man in Christ Jesus. Affection cannot be lasting, even in the home circle, unless there is a conformity of the will and disposition to the will of God. All the faculties and passions are to be brought into harmony with the attributes of Jesus Christ. If the father and mother in the love and fear of God unite their interests to have authority in the home, they will see the necessity of much prayer, much sober reflection. And as they seek God, their eyes will be opened to see heavenly messengers present to protect them in answer to the prayer of faith. They will overcome the weaknesses of their character and go on unto perfection. The voice is an entrusted talent, and it should be used to help and encourage and strengthen our fellow men. If parents will love God and keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, their language will not savor of sickly sentimentalism. It will be of a sound, pure, edifying character. Whether they are at home or abroad, their words will be well chosen. They will descend to no cheapness. They are bought with a price, and they are to glorify God in their body and spirit, which are His. They belong to God, and their deportment is to be consistent.
Christ has made every provision that every parent who will be controlled by the Holy Spirit will be given strength and grace to be a teacher in the home. This education and discipline in the home will have a molding and fashioning influence. There should be no fermented wine to tempt the appetite of the children. If you are under the control of the Spirit of God, you will put all the energy of your being into what you do, and a sanctifying influence will pervade the home. Blemishes in your character will be overcome, and parents and children will grow up to the full stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ.